The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
Do you read Stephen King? Good news. There's a club for you. The Losers Club. Every Friday, us losers journey through the never-ending wastelands of King's Dominion. We sink our teeth into each of King's novels, dive deep into the lore, and review every adaptation. Even better, we're always having guests over. Thomas Jane, Will Wheaton, Mary Lambert, Mick Garris, the list goes on. So what are you waiting for? Join us as we read on through long days and pleasant nights.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks so much for making your way here, checking out this episode. Hopefully you dig it enough to hit the subscribe button. I put out 3 new interviews every single week, a brand new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists, discover some new ones, know what's happening in the music world, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or YouTube for the video versions. Just subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me, I'm Kyle Meredith. Today I'm going to be talking with Daya. She is back. She's been releasing some new music over the past few months. Her latest single with Bad Girl has been getting just some great acclaim out there. So she and I are not only going to be talking about her new music, but what she's been up to in the past few years. In fact, it's been a time that finds her experiencing personal and artistic rebirth, really. So we're going to be getting into the backstory of that, finding her voice and sound, and she'll tell us about her love of lyrics. In fact, this new set really finds her singing about things in her personal life, including her own sexuality. She'll tell us about injecting her love of all things David Lynch, and crossing genres and eras to make a bit of a darker, weird side of pop music. So let's get into this. It's Kyle Meredith with Daya.
Hi, I'm so good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's so good to see you on here. So first off, congratulations. I have been loving the new single with Bad Girl and what you're doing. But this whole thing, like, we're talking about basically an artistic rebirth here, right?
Essentially, yeah. I would say so. I think it was more of like a personal rebirth that translates automatically to my art and my music. So yeah, I guess you could say it's an artistic rebirth.
So what has the last few years been like for you? Because again, you found success very early, and then you found even bigger success very quickly after that. And then there was a bit of a quiet period as far as we were concerned, but not exactly in your life.
Yeah, no, I think for me, after all of that happened when I was super young, I think it was really the most important thing for me was to make sure I was like well mentally and personally and kind of take time to just get to know myself more, because I was so young when I started, and I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, as I feel like most people don't when they're 16 or 17, and just live like those developmental years and those formative years as a human, and experience relationships, friendships, like love relationships, fall in love and fall out of love and all everything in between. Like, I feel like I just really wanted to kind of have those experiences, not only for myself personally, but also for my career and my writing, and yeah, just make sure that I know exactly what I want to say as an artist. And I think that I would never give those years back. I mean, I was still releasing music, and it was still touring and everything, but I wanted to take a step back from like the crazy side of it for a second.
Yeah. So was that like an absolute decision? Like, was there a marker in the sand moment that you remember?
I don't know. I think after the Grammys, everything was escalating really quickly. It was just kind of, and it's fun. It's all just like the most fun ride. And there's so many people constantly, you know, asking you what you like. It's just you at your, you know, whatever. It's really fun, and it's a really fun ride, and there were so many great things about it. And it was also like a pressure valve, and it felt like there was a lot going on, and that was, you know, pressure is a privilege, and as you get more farther into that world, you're gonna experience more of that. So yeah, I think for me it was just, I don't know that there was one moment where I felt it, but I think it was just like a gut feeling that I had to follow.
Yeah. I mean, we've heard that story so many times. It's, you know, getting, when you find fame when you're that young, I mean, I can't imagine having to go through that kind of, I'll use the word pressure. I can't, you know, 16, 17, as you're saying, you're trying to figure out who you are. You're trying to figure out your voice. And we do see a lot of artists, the ones who go through that, they have to do that in real time, in public, as the phrase goes, warts and all.
Yeah, exactly. And I, not only that, yeah, there's so many parts of that that make me cringe now. But also I just knew that I didn't want other people to speak for me or to write my songs for me or to kind of dictate my artist projects for me. And I knew that I didn't know exactly what it is that I wanted either. So I think the combination of those two, I definitely just felt that I needed to take time to myself.
And the finding your sound thing, you know, we all, the stuff we like usually at one point in our lives, especially in our teen years, very quickly, a lot of that we'll shun and throw in the back and be like, oh no, I didn't. Did that have anything to play? You know, you talk about not wanting to write with other people and just figuring out what you wanted to say. Was that also part of it? Because, you know, what you like changes very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, even today, like seeing the consumption rate of every teen, I feel like, and every like young person still, I guess I still kind of included in that, is just like, it's so fast, and TikTok like makes it go faster. And I feel like no one has, I don't have an attention span at all. So I feel like definitely like then as a teen, I feel like you're always kind of in that space where you're just like trying to find something cooler and something better and something whatever all the time. So yeah, that I definitely was constantly trying to evolve my sound. And I feel like that led to me just not knowing exactly what I wanted it to be, because I just kept chasing like the better thing and the cooler thing. And so yeah, that was kind of where that started.
So when did you know it was time to begin again? Like, when did that confidence return with direction?
I felt really good like late last year. I signed my new deal with Jay Cash, who's a writer, executive producer, and I've written with him and worked with him for years now. And he just started his own label, and he hit me up about it. And we were in conversation for a few months, and I just felt like it was the absolute, like the best possible scenario for me in terms of creative freedom and autonomy and just like having that control visually and sound wise and everything. And he's built up the best team, and everyone's been so amazing. And they're so, like, it's definitely, it's a smaller team, and it's definitely, but that's kind of what it came from with Hideaway and Sincerely Pretty. Like, I was indie then, And I think I just prefer that small team feel, but everyone's really excited about it. Everyone's super putting a lot into it, really dedicated. And that's what this has been for me. It's been amazing. And they've been so supportive of me kind of taking more risks visually and sonically and everything. They've just been super supportive. So yeah, that's when I felt like I was surrounded by the right people. I knew what I wanted, and I knew what it was I wanted to sound like and look like and everything.
So, you asked that, what you wanted to sound like. What is that? Like, when I first hear Bad Girl, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is musically, what a great night driving sound, you know, like that's the car, that's the windows down, that's the warm air coming through, that's the stars in the sky. That, cool. You know, almost like an 80s kind of feel to it. Mm-hmm. But so what were you looking for musically? What direction did you hit on?
Yeah, well, I think it's still like pretty expansive in terms of what I want to cover musically. I think I still like am interested in several different genres. And if you look through my playlist on Spotify and everything, like you'll see that it's just like different artists from like 70s, 80s, 90s now to like rock to hip hop to pop. Yeah, everything in between. So I think it's a bit more dark. In general, I think it's definitely, I love 80s, so I love 80s music, so I feel like it's definitely kind of in that realm of like dance pop, 80s dance pop, some of it is, and then some of it's more like acoustic, stripped down, more like rock leaning too. Yeah, it's a bit of a mixed bag still, but it's all stuff that I'm really genuinely interested in, I love listening to, so. Yeah.
Do you find it's important when you're kind of jumping around genres like that to find that connecting sound that sort of like, I guess what I'm thinking about is like albums, you know?
Yeah.
Like, collection of songs is great, but do you find it's important to figure out how to make it into an album?
Yeah, well, to me, that comes conceptually and lyrically. And I think that's what I love doing the most. I think lyrics are my favorite part. And I think just telling stories and kind of connecting the dots that way and having it be this evolution of character and of my, like, reflecting my own revolution and growth over the past couple of years. I think that that's what ties it together. Like, my first time was all about rebirth and my reintroduction as an artist to the space. And then Bad Girl is kind of continuing on the same wavelength, but with my sexuality and kind of the discovery of that and introducing myself to that world. So it all plays off of each other, and it definitely feels like there is a through line and there is connectivity going through all of it. Yeah.
When writing about your sexuality, was that difficult being a new thing? Is there a high wire to walk when writing about a subject like that?
I didn't really think so. I felt like it was just something that I had been wanting to say, and it felt really reflective of where I was at the time. And I think, I don't know, I did, like, maybe a few years ago it would have tripped me up, but I feel like now I'm trying to be the most expressive and honest that I can be through my music. And I think that that's what people will hopefully connect to the most, and not trying to hold anything back. Yeah.
It doesn't sound like you have a problem, like, I don't know how much co-writing did go on a song like this. I think I remember there being like multiple writers. I don't know if that's lyrical or what, but like that kind of discussion going into a song, because you're taking something that's so personal, and in a sense, you're having to share it a little bit with a collaborator. Like, what's that like?
Yeah, well, luckily I've worked with everyone that was on that, like, at least once before. Goldstein and I have worked once. Pollock wrote on one of my songs, Insomnia, that I released a few years ago. Same with Jay Cash. Madison Love I've worked with before. So everyone I knew and I felt comfortable with, to the point of sharing that. If I were working with maybe like all new people, it probably wouldn't have been the same situation, but they were all really cool with it and really excited about it. And I feel like it wasn't something that was even like this like big emotional moment for me. It was just like, I want to write about this, and it feels like something that I want out in the world, something that I want to say, something that I want other people to hear. And yeah, and I don't I don't think that I want to filter myself in any way just because I'm scared of what other people are going to say about it.
Well, I love the representation, of course, when the video too. You know, I wrote down the words David Lynch, I think, before I'd read somewhere that you sort of had that a little bit in mind. And
yeah.
I guess this goes along with your darker persona and mood that you were talking about. But are you an actual David Lynch fan? Do you?
I love David Lynch. I really do. I think my love for him started with Twin Peaks a few years ago. And then I watched Blue Velvet and Mulholland Drive. And I just completely fell in love with his whole style. I think it's so unique. I think it's so like weird and quirky and mysterious. And yeah, we felt like we wanted to, my girlfriend directed the video and she loves him too. And we felt like this song definitely leads you to this like mysterious kind of like ambiguous place that's like kind of exists, but doesn't exist. It exists in a dream. And that's what we wanted the bar to look like. And so you see me at the beginning of the video walking in the middle of nowhere in this desert kind of mountain landscape, which was just outside of LA. And then you see me appear in this bar and completely different outfit, completely, like we tried to get across that it was like this subconscious kind of thing. And it just explores like me going through that process in my subconscious of like recognizing my sexuality, dealing with it, and then emerging at the end as this like fully confident, realized person when I come out in my dress and my heels and perform the whole thing basically on that runway. So yeah, we wanted to kind of take his little like quirkiness and his characters and his weird kind of like the velvet curtains and the velvet booths and that kind of like seductiveness and mysteriousness and turn it into something that was really meaningful to me too. So
I think the idea of a persona, I love the idea of persona in musicians, when musicians take that and kind of make art out of it. You know, I think we lack a little bit of that sometimes these days. And so when an artist kind of goes that extra mile on that stuff, and plus I think it's a good time to put a little weird back into pop. Like, I'm not trying to project anything here, but like, that's the greatest stuff to me. Like the greatest pop songs of all time have had a little bit of something, you know, off on it, whether it's dark or something like that.
Yeah.
Is this going to continue? I mean, is this type of persona, I guess, going to push through with the rest of the record?
I could definitely be a vessel for weird pop. I feel like I could, I volunteer myself as tribute. I definitely gravitate towards those visuals, those darker, kind of more ambiguous visuals. And I think that, yeah, I think I just want to push, not in a way that's like pretentious or anything, but I think that it's just like interesting to me to kind of push boundaries in that way and just see what happens. So yeah, there'll probably be a lot more of that going forward. A lot more weirdness.
I'll wrap up with this one. What does the, where does the story go from here on the record? You know, we've got First Time and Bad Girl now. What is more of the story that you do plan on telling?
Basically everything else that's been going on in my personal life. It deals with self isolation, some depression, some more, you know, darker, deeper topics. And then some really like lighthearted, kind of happier songs that, along the lines of First Time and Bad Girl. I talk about love and my relationship, my new relationship and everything. So yeah, I think it spans pretty much. This year has been so crazy for everyone, but mentally just like so many ups and downs. So I think I definitely wanted to capture not just my best days, but you know, yeah, everything in between, my worst days. So
well, I'm really interested to see how you're reflecting all this, because like I said, the direction you're going so far is really cool to kind of watch. So
thanks.
Congratulations on this. You know, I guess the official welcome back that everyone's throwing you. It's great to hear you're doing what you're doing, and thanks for taking the time to talk about
it. Thank you so much. Yeah, it was great to talk to you too.
Take care, and hopefully we'll see you around at some point.
Hopefully soon. Yes, I would love to stop by Kentucky.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah, talk soon. Bye.
And my thanks to Daya. And my thanks to you for checking out this episode. Please do hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all of the interviews that I put out every single week. Brand new ones every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on everything that's happening in the music world, what your favorite artists are up to, and give you a chance to discover some new ones too. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, and once again, YouTube. You can find the video version of this as well. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. Again, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all three of them at Kyle Meredith, at TikTok at KyleMeredith81. Please like, follow along. Make sure to say hi when you do. I'm Kyle Meredith. That does it for another edition. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I honestly haven't gone out of my house for like a month, so I don't know.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.